the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. And you're welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, WTTTY. I'm broadcasting live out of Chicago, as I do almost every except for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I'm here. I wasn't here yesterday because I had to go to the doctor's, actually the hospital. Yeah, and have my colonoscopy. This was my first ever colonoscopy, and they found two polyps, and they removed them. lucky me, huh? And, you know, so it was a good thing. It was my first ever, and I want to give a shout-out to all the doctors and the nurses. They were just phenomenal. They were just gorgeous people. We were just cracking jokes and having fun and everything. Even though I was a little nervous, having somebody going up my rear and poking around, it was it was not, you know, totally called for, but it was something I knew I had to do. And I'm glad I've done it. And they told me that I have an appointment for the next 5 years. The doctor said something that the polyps take a long time to grow, and it takes years. And then one, the doctor also said, well, maybe you don't have to come back in 10 years. I said, hey, I may be dead in 10 years, you know. Yeah, so it was successful. So as soon as it was over, I put my clothes back on. And I was feeling great. I was feeling great. I was feeling wonderful. And I, as the nurse, one of the nurses escorted me out to my ride. And at first I told her, I said, you don't have to escort me out to my downstairs and out of the hospital. I said, I can do it myself. You know, I can do it. Because I felt like I could do these things myself. And I felt like I could actually get home by myself. But they didn't want to trust me. They didn't trust me to get home by myself. They said the, you know, effects of whatever they gave me would kick in. So they, you know, had this kind, very kind and loving nurse escort me down to my ride. And, you know, I got in my ride. We got home, and I still was feeling good. Everything was fine. I had pictures of the polyps that they moved, and other pictures from the inside of my body, inside up into my rectum. Photographs. I said to myself, I'm going to upload this to Facebook. Nah, this is too gruesome. I'm not going to do that. So, you know, but however, a few hours into the next day, matter of fact, this is the day. Pain, the uncomfortable ability has set in. It has set in. So I'm going to tell you folks right now out there, I'm hurting right now. And I guess it's something to be expected 24 hours after the procedure, of removing the polyps and having a colonorexy, if I can pronounce it. And it must be the pain, the reason why I can't pronounce it. And, you know, I'm hoping it's only temporary, but it's been all day, you know, so I'm thinking that's a temporary, something that happens, you know, so we're just going to, hope for the best. We're going to hope for the best. Okay. If I have to leave the show early, you'll know why. The pain. All right. Author Yvette W. Jones and her book, My Second Wind, hopefully will be here today. I'm seeing that she's booked twice. I usually don't do that, but someone or maybe myself made a mistake. So she'll be here, hopefully, to talk about her book. And she'll also be here on the 10th. We have to check that one out. I won't be on the show tomorrow because it's just a, you know, something I just don't do. I do my show 4 days a week from 6 o'clock to 7 or maybe 8, 2 hours sometimes, depending on the clientele. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I'm just getting back, and I'm suffering the after effects of a colonoscopy. So if I should just take off the show early because the pain is too excruciating, then you'll know why, but I'm going to try to make it through the entire show, you know. And if there is any pain, I'm going to try not to show it, because it comes and it goes, it comes, it goes. And and the doctor said by the documentation, it's something to be expected. So I don't know if it's, you know. Well, anyway, we're having author Yvette, if I can say it, Yvette W. Jones, and her book, My Second Wind. And I'm eager to talk to her, because maybe it'll take my mind off the pain. Okay. All right. In Chicago is where I'm broadcasting. There's been 6 killings on the southwest side of the city inside of a house. Gage Park community, to be accurate. I mean, I guess what I'm saying, and there's been other killings around the city, but that's just so. That's the one that the news reporters and the people are talking about, because it's the most horrific. And every time a crime occurs in the city of Chicago, it goes viral, it goes national, and it adds to, you know, a black eye, another black eye on top of the million other black eyes that this city has gotten. The police department in this town, they have been dismal failures in curbing crime. I understand that you can't go into everybody's house and stop, you know, family squabbles and disagreements and hate relatives. I understand that. But still and all, we have had more killings this year, the beginning of this year, January, than we've had last year, 2015. This is 2016. And Chicago's murder rate is just running through the roof. Some people feel that the crime is out of control. There's nothing they can do. The police department, I mean, these guys act like they're helpless. The police department. They act as if they're helpless. I almost said something. They act as if they're helpless. They are not helpless. They're getting paid. If you don't want to do your job, do not become a police officer. Do not do that. The crime in this city has risen so much that it's almost embarrassing to say that you're from Chicago or that you're from the city of Illinois. It's almost embarrassing, you know, because most people, oh, George, you're from Chicago. Oh, man, they haven't shot you dead yet. And, you know, you gotta, that's facetious, but it may be true. It could be true. I keep my son off the street any time that I can. I try to say, hey, come home, get off the street. Even though we live in a pretty predominantly safe area of the city of Chicago. But like I've stated so many times, crime can happen anywhere to anybody at any time. It doesn't matter. It's crime that has no name, no color. No, it just doesn't. It really doesn't. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. Go check out my books, my short stories, all of these things that are on Amazon, published books, published. They're good. They're great. They're wonderful. If I didn't think so, I would have not written them, totally not published them. But that's some great stuff. George Wilder Jr., Amazon.com. And check that stuff out. It's very, very good. I want to say again, and I always say this, and I try to say this, downloading the book, buying the book, the books, plural, the books, the short stories, and giving me great feedback on them. I want to thank the people who have so far reviewed the books. And reviews are, to get a review for a book, I mean, you have to actually, especially if you're a self-published author, it's like pulling your hair out. You know, you got to ask everybody, hey, would you review my book? Would you do this? Well, I don't have time right now, but when I get, you know, so that's a given, I guess. I'm going to play I always play the, I have a clip here on how to get interviews, honest interviews for your book if you've written a book. So stick around for that. We're going to play that. And I've played the clip before. So if you want to check out some of the previous shows that I've given, you should probably hear the same thing, you know, same clip on how to get book reviews on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Because I'm learning just like you. Hey, how do you tell me, you know, because I got so much material up on Amazon. I mean, really lots of material that has still not have been reviewed. People have, and that's the funny thing. People will download your book in droves. They will do that, especially if you're marketing it, publicizing it, and getting it out there for everybody, and especially if you're giving it away for free. They will down your book in droves. I mean, one guy told me he had 2,000 downloads of his book. Yeah, 2,000 downloads for his book. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Not one review. People who downloaded his book for free. And I'm here to tell you, folks, when you download someone's book for free, they are expecting in return a review of the book, an honest review. I mean, I've had these 5-day promotions on Amazon, and I've given my books away, and I know people have downloaded them. I can see the statistics, but nobody gave a review. Not one. I guess some people are just not into writing reviews. I've had one person on my show say that they could write a book, they can read a book, but they just cannot write a review. And that's honest. Some people just can't write reviews. And then some people just don't give a damn about giving a review. Some people may feel that their time is too limited for giving reviews, you know, and if you press somebody on giving a review for your book, it seems as though they're going to get pissed off because you're pressuring them. And if you pressure them too much, they will give you a review, but it will be a negative review, you know. So, and I'm finding that reviews are the hardest thing to get, you know. But published books, not. Self-published books, but published books, traditional books, where people like, you know, Danielle Steele, Sue Grafton, Vince Vaughn, these are, you know, writers, famous writers who employ people to go around to get them reviews for their books. It's not easy. And then there's websites where you have the owners of these websites charging a fee to review your book. I started to go that way at one time, but I told myself, no, this is not right. This is not right because there's so many people who are contacting me for book interviews, and I don't charge for a book interview. I don't charge anybody. I don't think it's right, you know. And by myself not charging anyone for a ebook or a book review, I'm not going to pay anybody for an ebook or anything, you know. But there are some people out there who are buying reviews, and that's one of the things that goes against Amazon's guidelines. If you get too many of them, you know, you get too many of them. But you know what? It's nothing wrong. It is nothing wrong with asking your family, your friends, your Facebook friends, or whatever, or other authors, you know, of giving you a book review, an honest book review. But to get a four and a half star book review, which are great reviews, you have to have a good book. You have to have a good book. You know, you have to have somebody say, hey, wow, George, that's a good book. George, that's a great story. You know, and you have to have a good book. If you have a lousy book filled with mistakes, grammar mistakes of every kind, misspellings, punctuation, all of these errors in your book, and all of a sudden someone comes along and give you and that particular book that you've written, which with all the errors, a 5-star review, you're going to look bad. That's going to look bad for you, and that's going to make the reviewer look bad. This is why we're saying that we need honest reviews. All right, I'm looking at CPS Teachers March Against Cuts. Downtown Chicago right now is filled up with thousands and thousands and thousands striking. They're just marching. They're marching because CPS, the Chicago Public Schools, have announced $100 million in cuts. And Rauner's just sitting back letting this happen. You know, they rejected an offer about a week ago from the CPS, which I thought was a good offer. But the teachers, they want more money. They don't want to pay more towards health care. They don't want to pay more towards their pension. So they're pissed off. They're downtown holding up traffic in the financial district of the Loop. They're smiling. They're grinning. The teachers are down there. I'm watching this stuff right now on the monitor. And they have holding up signs. They're not striking, but they're threatening to strike. My understanding is if the Chicago Public Schools strike, they can strike no later than May 30th or something like that. But they are pissed off. Chicago State University, they're about to shut their doors because of monies that they're not receiving from the state, monies that they are owed. It's just a hell of a mess in the state of Illinois. And this mess is being caused by politicians and unions. I don't think the teachers should be out here marching, striking, or any of that. These teachers get paid good money. They keep saying that they're doing it for the students. Believe me, the teachers are doing it for themselves. They were trying to line their pockets. I have nothing against teachers, Chicago Public School teachers, or nothing, but I have something against them when they put the kids' education in jeopardy. I've had people tell me before, George, those nasty things you say about teachers. Teachers aren't that. Teachers are lining their pockets if they wouldn't have rejected that offer from the city about a week or so ago. And then they're down there holding up traffic in the Chicago Loop area around the financial district. I'd be pissed off if I was driving through there and a lot of teachers and students wanting me to see them and recognize them and try to support their cause. I can't do that. Teachers are paid a good buck in this town. They are paid a good salary. And now they're protesting cuts and layoffs. A lot of those teachers are down there that are pissed off. They're the ones going to be the first one laid off. You know, some of them teachers, like I said, I don't have anything against teachers. I just have some things against the way they try to, mask their intentions of getting a union contract. As if they don't know already that Rauner wants to bust unions. He wants the cracks in this town that are keeping Rauner from doing that. He wants to take over public schools. He wants to take them over, and he wants to put in his own people. If that happens, they're all gone. They're all gone. The teachers want, and another thing they're protesting down here, not only the cuts, they're not protesting not only the $100 million in CPS cuts that are coming. They're also protesting charter schools. Yeah, they are protesting. They want to get rid of all charter schools. And my son goes to a charter school. But this charter school that my son goes to, Denver, they try to mask themselves as a private school. Yeah. And because my son wears a uniform every day to school, suit and tie, actually, if you want to get really specific about it, a suit and tie. And so they want to get rid of all charter schools. because they're feeling, because they feel that charter school is taking away a lot of CPS money. But let's say if the Chicago Public Schools, let's say if they do strike, my son goes to a charter school, so he will still be in school while the Chicago Public Schools are striking, because charter schools have no unions. They have no unions. They have no bargaining influence or anything like that. So they will not, the teachers who work at charter schools and most of the employees will be in school, and the kids will be in school as the Chicago Public School teachers and faculty and staff are out in the streets saying they want this and want that. So it's a mess in Chicago, and I want to say we still have no state budget. We're going into the eighth month, and I can't understand. Rauner says he wants to fix this, he wants to fix that. But damn, how can he fix anything in this state when he can't even fix a budget for this state? Why would we believe that you want to fix things when you don't even have a budget? Every time he brings his ass on television, he talks about everything but getting a budget for the state of Illinois. Everything. And that's all we want to hear is about a budget, because without a budget, people are being laid off. Schools are closing. Colleges and universities, because the monies that are owed to them, they're not getting it. Rauner will not pay the state's bills. Why do these people get away with this? If you and I didn't pay our bills, they'd be coming after us with collection agencies. Lawyers. Why did this guy get away with this? All Rauner is doing is keeping his face in front of the television cameras and saying exactly nothing. He's trying to be relevant, but he's not. He's trying to say he's trying to do something, but Democrats are standing in his way. Democrats are not standing in his way of getting a budget for the state of Illinois. We are 8 months behind in a budget. A lot of them institutions around here aren't being funded. Hospitals, I mean, you name it. You name it. It's not being, mental health facilities, senior citizens programs are being cut. Disabled, disability, they don't give a damn. Schools. What the hell is wrong with these people? What is the hell wrong with these people? And I'm sitting here in Chicago. Like I said before at the beginning of the show, at least some parts of the beginning of the show, it's almost embarrassing to say that I'm from Chicago. But I'm not going to be embarrassed, because I love this city. We just got some rotten-ass politicians who wants to destroy it and then blame the other person. And that's all we've got in Chicago politics so far. That's it. Rauner blames the Democrats blame Rauner. And I think they both have an equal blame to take in all of this. But Rauner stands out, because if he had not been elected governor of Illinois by people not voting, if he had not been elected governor of Illinois by people not voting, we would not be in this mess. And I guarantee you that we would not be in this mess. We've got politicians screwing up everything for the state, the city, the schools, the school children. The adults are the ones effing up around here, not the children. Some of the kids are naive, and you know, but a lot of them are having their education put on hold because of this. They're having their education basically ruined because of this. Rauner will not sign a money bill The Democrats do not have the votes to override Rauner in order to get a budget because some Democrats are turncoats, which doesn't give him the number of votes needed to override Rauner and get a budget for the state of Illinois. And that's bad. That's wrong. Because Rauner, there's no doubt about it, the guy's buying off politicians, Democratic politicians. That's why, that's one of the many reasons why we are in the mess that we're in. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I'm just ranting, right? Even in lots of pain, but you know, we'll get over it. All right, I'm going to take a break right here. Listen to this. I will be right back. Thank you, everybody.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
We're still waiting on Yvette W. Jones, her book, My Second Wind. She has been booked twice. This may not be the show that she's going to be on, but, you know, whether she's here today, tonight, it doesn't matter because I can always do the show, you know, without a guest. But she's scheduled for the 4th, and she's scheduled for the 10th. Okay, if she's not here tonight, she'll be here on the 10th. You know, so she can call in at any point, anytime. You guys stay with me. Stay with me. So what do we got here? U.S. of Fear. Okay, the Democratic debate is tonight. Clinton Sanders to face off in the first one-on-one debate without Martin O'Malley. I believe he's dropped out. But you know what? I thought Martin O'Malley was a pretty good guy. I could have voted for him as for president, you know, but he was just one of those guys where Clinton and Sanders sucked all the air out of the room, and, you know, he's out of it, I believe, because it's a one-on-one debate with just Sanders and Clinton. Clinton's clearly taking Wall Street money, and that's going to be one of the themes coming from Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders is not taking any money from anybody. His money is coming from grassroots people. You know, they're sending $5, $10, $100, $200, $35, $10, and that's what's building his campaign war chest. Clinton is going begging and borrowing for money from Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, all of these people. She's corporate, just like Obama. And another thing, I'm Hillary, okay? I'm for Hillary. I'm for Bernie Sanders. Maybe it's the pain that's getting to me. Bernie Sanders. Hillary is bought the hell off. She's taking millions and millions of dollars from Wall Street, and then she turns around and criticizes them, saying she's coming after them. How can you go after somebody in a negative way when they are funding your campaign? So my thinking is that she's just stretching the truth a little bit. You know, you can't go after people who are giving you money in a negative way. You know, so I'm for Bernie, and I hope you guys vote for him. I mean, the Iowa caucus vote where they were virtually tied. Clinton got out of there with a hair. I mean, Bernie was 49.6%. Hillary, 49.8% of the vote. That's a tie to me, you know, but they saying that Hillary won. Hillary barely squeaked by a hair. She barely made it out of there. If you think about it, it's still a Bernie win, because just think about where Bernie Sanders came from. He came from obscurity, out of nowhere. When he first started running against Clinton, Clinton had 50 points ahead of him. He was 50 points ahead of him while he was down there in the 5% area. Now, he rolls all the way up to virtually tied with her, because a lot of people felt that Hillary Clinton was a shoe-in. She is nowhere near a shoe-in. Bernie has done a great job, and from what I'm hearing, in New Hampshire, it's all locked up for him. And if he wins New Hampshire, it's just about over for Clinton. And he will win New Hampshire. Then it's on to some other states. But anyway, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here. Follow me on Amazon.com. I have plenty of work up there, published work. You know, check that stuff out. It's great work, whether it's free or low cost. It's worth reading and worth. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, Marco Rubio is the one pitting Americans against each other. Actually, Marco Rubio is the one. You know, that's an article here. No Republican, from my understanding, from where I sit, and it's rough. Wow, it is fit to be president of the United States. Not one of them. Not one of them. You know, I mean, not one Republican. As you can see, Trump is getting more ridiculous as the time goes on. He is so pissed off that he lost Iowa to Ted Cruz. He can't believe it. Now he's accusing Ted Cruz of cheating, for saying that Ben Carson was somehow, leaving the race when Ben Carson was not leaving the race. And that was, and by him saying Ben Carson was leaving the race, from Trump's standpoint, Carson's supporters went over and started supporting and gave their vote to Ted Cruz, which could have happened. I don't know, but Trump is out there being the trumpeter. He is pissed. He's up and up. Trump makes President Nixon seem normal. You know what I'm saying? Donald Trump alone at his computer makes Richard Nixon drunken chats with the portraits of procession seem like models of well-adjusted sanity. Imagine that hill that howls away under that ludicrous. I mean, they have really been going after Trump. They saying he's a racist, of which he is, because he doesn't want Muslims or Mexicans or illegal Mexicans. There's a hell of a lot of people, and it's kind of sad to see that Donald Trump, from my estimation, and from other talk show hosts and their radio show programs, they're saying that Trump is on his way out. I mean, because the more crazy he gets, the people find that out, they're going to, you know, take their support somewhere else. And in Iowa, Donald Trump damn near came in second place. He almost fell to third place. Yeah, almost fell to third place. That's why Rubio is so exuberantic. That's why he's so happy. He feels good because he feels that he can knock Trump out of there. Rubio in Iowa, he was just one percentage point behind Donald Trump. Donald Trump had 24%. Rubio had 23%. But like I said, I don't think not one of these Republicans are fit for office. I feel kind of sad for Donald Trump because I kind of liked him. I kind of liked him, you know, and his antics, his rants, his ridiculousness, his bulliness, his buffoonishness, even though I would never have voted for him. But he was, like they say, he's an entertainer. That's all he is. Talks at a fourth grade level. He's an entertainer. That's all he is. Okay, we're waiting for Yvette W. Jones, her book, to talk about her book, My Second Wind, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She hasn't called in or showed up yet. It's a possibility she may be scheduled for next week and not today. Okay? Things happen. But, you know, she hasn't called in yet, so that tells me that she's probably it wasn't scheduled today. But I'm looking here on my schedule, my calendar here, and it says she was supposed to be on the show today. But if she doesn't, hey, wow, you know, we got it. Because you miss a show on the George Wilder Jr. Show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Okay, only listen to me and follow me on this program. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me all over the place. It's just, let me see what we got here. Okay. Oh, we'll be right back. Right, this is Black History Month. This is Black History Month, you know. So I look at it this way. Every month is Black History Month, you know. So, and we've come so far. Some of my favorites are Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. You talk about James Brown, Michael Jackson. A lot of these people are gone. And my favorite writers, no, without a doubt, Robert Luckman, Richard Wright, Alice Walker. I mean, so many, so much. And I salute the George Wilder Jr. Show, salutes Black History Month, you know. And it's great. It's wonderful. And for Black History Month, I'm going to do a short, if we can find it. Can you find that clip? Can you find that clip of Martin Luther King's last speech for
all
Black History Month?
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over that. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say, we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around. We aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. Tonight, I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Yeah, well, there's some sad news, especially if you're an Earth, Wind, and Fire fan, which I was and I still am. Maurice White is dead at the age of 74. He's the guy who founded the group. I remember I used to listen to these guys all the time. I even had their greatest hits at one time. And they were just phenomenal. I remember they did a duo with the, I forget this girl group name, The Emotions, of course. They did a duo with The Emotions. Maurice White, the founder of Earth, Wind, and Fire, died in Los Angeles on Wednesday, which was yesterday. White was 74. Okay, I'm quoting his brother, who is also a member of Earth, Wind, and Fire. He says, "My brother and hero and best friend, Maurice White, passed away peacefully last night in his sleep," Verdine White said in a statement on Earth, Wind, and Fire's Facebook page. I'm still quoting, "While the world has lost another great musician, and we have lost quite a few and legend, our family asked that our privacy is respected as we start what will be a very difficult and life-changing transition in our lives. Thank you for your prayers and your well wishes." Maurice White, I understand, excuse me, the guy had Parkinson's disease. He had long stopped performing with Earth, Wind, and Fire because of that. So, you know, so that's a little tidbit on him. And my favorite song by Maurice White was That's the Way of the World. He was on lead vocals, and that was a number one hit. That's one of my favorite songs by Earth, Wind, and Fire with Maurice White on the lead. So our prayers and well wishes go out to Maurice White and his family. And this is Black History Month on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
Earlier into the show, I was talking about book reviews. So if you guys out there, you're author and you need reviews, why don't you just let me see if I can find it. Do we have it? Okay. Listen to this. You might learn something. We might learn something.
All right. Welcome to the show. Our guest today is Heather Hart. Right. She is an international best-selling author and award-winning author, and she works as an author coach at trainingauthors.com. She enjoys working from home, where she spends her days typing away at her computer, brainstorming new marketing ideas, and encouraging other authors to achieve success. So, Heather, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about your background. And yeah, cool. So, I mean, what inspired you to start out as an author? Because I know lots of people have the idea to write a book, but they never really, you know, get around to it.
I actually just kind of fell into it, and this doesn't happen to a lot of authors, but I had twins, and that caused me to have four children under 5 years old, so I couldn't afford daycare to work outside the home, so I started volunteering with someone else who already wrote books, and we co-authored our first book, and that just kind of got the ball rolling, and I was a published author before I really even knew what I was doing.
Yeah, awesome. So you had that kind of that relationship with someone that really spurred you on and encouraged you to get it out there.
Definitely.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Well, I know today on the show we want to talk about how to get awesome reviews for people's books on Amazon and, you know, Goodreads and places like that. So tell us, you know, some of your awesome tips on how to get more book reviews.
The best thing that I've ever found to get book reviews is to start a dedicated email list for book reviewers. So you can email them out whenever you have a new book, and then they can respond if they want a free review copy of that book. That is the best way that I have found to get them. As soon as we started our list, it really just transformed the number of reviews we were getting on our books.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So how did you set that whole process up, and what tools were you using? You know, how did you let people know about the opportunity?
Well, by the time we started getting reviews for our books, or started trying to get reviews for our books, we already had a really big following. So all we had to do was send out one email saying, hey, if you'd like to be on our reviewer list, you know, you can apply here. And we just had them sign up for essentially a second email list that we started that was dedicated to reviewers. And we outlined the process really well. What we did was we said, you know, if you'd like a free review copy, you have to agree to review it on Amazon and Goodreads. And if you have a blog, you can review it there as well. And they have to do the FTC disclaimer saying that they got a free copy in exchange for an honest review. And then we just send them a free ebook copy.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Cool. So they sign up basically on your website for the email list. And then, you know, they're just on that list waiting until you release a new book. And then you say, hey, we're coming out with a new book. And, you know, as a reviewer, you get it for free. And they have to, like, respond back and say, yes, you want it, and then you send it out, or how's that work?
Yep, that's exactly how it works. So they respond saying, yes, I'd like a copy of this book. And sometimes we ask them, you know, do you want a free Smashwords copy? Do you want us to send you a PDF or Mobi file? You know, how would you like to receive this book? And then they'll let us know what kind of file they want, and we send it to them that way. And we just say, you know, this is our time frame. You know, please post your review before our launch on this date or within 2 to 4 weeks. Or whatever it is.
Mm, awesome. Yeah, that's a great tip to send them. Make sure you send them the file that they want, because I know I've done things with reviewers before, and I've sent people a PDF, and they're like, no, I want the Mobi, I want the EPUB, I want, you know, some other file. And so, yeah, I mean, if they're not going to read the book or read it as quickly and review it as quickly if you don't give them the file that they really want.
Exactly. I'm on several review programs like this for traditional publishers, and they usually offer ebook or print books. And they always say on theirs what type of file it is. And if you want to get reviews before the book goes out, like before it's actually published, you can say, you know, this is an advanced review copy, and label it that way so they know not to judge you for all the spelling errors or the plot problems that you're still working out, so you can get reviews coming in before your book is actually ready to go out.
Oh, cool. So, okay, so you guys are also doing this for books, like, even before they're done and finally edited. So you're sending them out, like, maybe, you know, several drafts in, you're sending out an advanced review copy to get feedback.
We usually do it right before our final stage. You know, we'll send it out, and we usually send it out to reviewers and our last proofreader at the same time. That way, they're all coming through at the same time, and we're ready at the launch date.
Gotcha. Cool. So then how do people, because people can't review the book until it's launched, right? So do you say, hey, write the review before, or do you just, once it's launched, you tell them, hey, go write the review now?
If we send it out before it's available on Amazon, we say we'll send you a link when it's ready on, usually on this day. We tell them what it's going to be. However, I have in the past published the Kindle ebook on Amazon and just labeled it as an advanced review copy, so people know not to buy it. I don't like doing that very often, and usually not for more than a few days. Like, if I think it's almost ready and I want the reviews to start coming in, you can do that. But you can also publish it on Amazon, the final version, once it is ready, before you actually launch the book. Like, we often publish our books on Amazon 2 weeks before the official launch. So the book is the final copy. It's ready to be read by people. If somebody does buy it, it's not a huge deal. But we're not ready to start marketing it yet. So you can publish it before you're ready to actually launch the book.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, so that's a great idea. So you're basically publishing it on Amazon and say, hey, reviewers, go review it real quick. And then, you know, a week or 2 weeks later, you start the actual launch where you're doing all your marketing promotions.
Exactly.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. So what kind of marketing promotions are you guys using? Are you using KP Select? Are you publishing everywhere?
It depends on the book. A lot of our books are just in KDP Select because they want to use the free days or the countdown deals.
Yeah.
But we also do a lot of them that are on everywhere. So we usually publish those through Amazon directly, and then we'll publish them through Smashwords, which will put them on Barnes & Noble and iTunes and all those places. But it also gives us the opportunity to use those Smashwords coupons so we can send our reviewers the free coupon to review the book.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Cool. So for your email list, what are you guys using? Are you using MailChimp or something else?
We use TrafficWave. And the reason we do that is because it's a one set fee. You just pay like $19 to $20 per month, no matter how big your list gets, no matter how many subscribers you get, no matter how many emails you send out, it's still just that one set fee. A lot of the other ones pay you per subscriber, per email. And the more your list grows, the more expensive that gets for you. And the more lists you have, the more expensive that gets for you. So that's what we have chosen to use for now.
Cool. That's cool. I've never actually heard of that one, so I'll just check that out. Traffic Wave. So we'll link to that under the show, in the show notes.
All right.
Cool. So what other awesome tips for reviewers? I mean, that's a great way to do it. That sounds like a really awesome strategy, and I think a lot of authors aren't using that, so they should. But what else? For someone starting out without a platform, without a following, you know, what could they do to start generating more reviews?
Definitely. There are several little things that authors can do that can help generate reviews. If you have an email list at all, you can just email out saying, hey, if you have read this book, would you mind leaving a review on Amazon and include the link? You can put a little snippet in the back of your book saying, you know, if you read it on a Kindle, when you scroll through to the very end, it will say, would you like to review this book on Amazon? But a lot of readers don't get all the way through. They stop at the end of the actual book content. They don't read the back matter to get to that prompting from Amazon. So you can add in a little snippet saying, if you like this book, would you review it on Amazon and include a link? And sometimes that will remind them to go all the way through and write a review, or they can just click the link and go right there. And you can also put that in paperback books. So if somebody's reading the paperback book, it's a tangible reminder to them saying, you know, hey, go review this book for me.
Cool. And so you put that snippet like immediately after the last chapter of the book, so it's not at the end?
Exactly. That way they see it as soon as they finish reading the book.
Yeah, that's really smart. So it's like the last chapter, the last word of the last chapter, next page says, hey, if you love this book, leave a review. And then it's like the about the author section and that kind of stuff at the end.
Yep, exactly.
Cool. That's really smart. I've never actually seen anyone do it that way. That sounds like you know, definitely a way to get a little bit more people doing it, because like you said, yeah, sometimes they read the last word and they just, you know, they don't want to read your bio.
They're done. So that's really helped increase our reviews. You can also post, there are dedicated groups on Facebook and LinkedIn where readers want free review copies, so you can check those out and find groups that are either genre specific or even just general groups in general where you can post that saying, hey, if you'd like a free copy of my book in exchange for an honest review, just let me know. Or if you are in the KDB Select program, you can post to those groups on your free days and let them know they get a free copy and that you'd love to have a review from them.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so maybe you can share after the show, you can send us a link to some of the best Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups you found for authors, and we can share that out as well.
Definitely. I actually have a page on my website where you can go after our interview. It's called trainingauthors.com/Heather Said, and I'll have all the links that I mentioned during this, or all the tools and resources that I mentioned during this podcast.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks. Cool. So what about friends and family? Because I know a lot of people, you know, if you don't know anyone, you don't have a following yet, a lot of people think, oh, I should go email my friends and family for reviews. What do you think about that?
I think that's generally a bad idea, because the friends and family they're biased, honestly. And Amazon actually has a review policy saying that the author cannot review their book and nobody can review the book on behalf of the author. And when you ask your friends and family doing it, they're doing it as a favor to you, not as a reader giving an unbiased review. So that can actually violate Amazon's terms of service. It's very, very sketchy, and I don't recommend that at all.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Good tip. Yeah, and mm-hmm. I found, too, it also kind of like, you know, most people's family members, they don't really want to read your book, and like you said, they're not really a reader of your book, so they don't really care. Like, you know, they're not going to know if it's a good science fiction novel or not, because they don't read that kind of stuff, so... it's like you said, it's not the kind of review that's going to cause people to actually want to buy your book anyway.
Definitely. And oftentimes, if you have a family member who goes, oh, so-and-so is so sweet, I'm so glad she published this book, and it's not about the book at all, it's about the author or whatever. Or, you know, I've known so-and-so since they were a little boy, and, you know, it's not, readers just look at those and kind of roll their eyes. It's not going to encourage anyone to read your book. It's just going to be like, that's a worthless review. You know, you need to have reviews from credible people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so what about, I mean, sometimes you get a review and someone leaves a review, it's like one word, like good book or something like that. Is there anything that you do to train your reviewers to leave better reviews or more detailed reviews or more comprehensive reviews?
Sometimes we ask them to share what they liked best about the book or something they learned during the book, because we write nonfiction primarily. If you write fiction, you can ask them, you know, hey, in your review, could you mention who your favorite character was? You can ask them, prompt them what to leave in their review, and that can kind of help a little bit. But in general, there's really no way. You can't tell them what to write, so it kind of gets into, again, a sketchy territory. Amazon does have a rule where they have to leave so many words. You can't just say good book on Amazon. You can on Goodreads, but on Amazon you have to have like a minimum of 25 words, and that kind of usually helps out a little bit. But again, it's totally up to the reviewer as to what they write. Now, what you can do is you can go to the Amazon top reviewers and find a reviewer there that reads books in your niche that writes really good reviews and contact them about reviewing your book. Just make sure that it is an author who reads your genre. You know, you don't want to contact someone who primarily reads romance and ask them to review a horror story. It's just not good. I've had several people contact me and say, you know, hey, would you review my book? You're going to love it. It's about this. And I'm like, ew, why would I ever want to read that? Why would anyone want to read that? You know, so it's just because people have different tastes. So make sure that you're contacting someone that will like to read your book. Otherwise, it's just kind of like spam mail.
Definitely. You know, that's such a great point. And I think it's true universally, like not just on Amazon. I mean, on Facebook and on Twitter and anywhere. Like, you don't want to just ask like your friends and family or other authors who don't read your work to come and like your fan page and follow you on Twitter and leave you a review, because it's not your audience, and they're going to use different words and different language than your audience would use. And so, you know, like if like you mentioned, kind of like the romance novel, like if you have a romance novel published and all your reviewers are saying things that no romance reader would ever say in their reviews, then when your real true romance reader fans come and read them, they're going to be like, well, something's not right here. And they might not, you know, logically know what it is, consciously know what it is, but they're going to feel kind of, you know, this isn't really the right book for me.
It can to lead to negative reviews, because I know that I've gotten some review copies of books where the book was not at all what I was expecting. And I was like, it's not really my reading style. I didn't really like this book because it's not what I wanted. It's not what I read. You know, that can lead to negative reviews for your part. So definitely make sure that you're sending review copies to people within your target audience.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a good idea. So, I mean, what do you do, though, even if you do send out, you know, books to people and they leave you one-star reviews or bad reviews? How do you deal with that?
I usually just let it go. Every good book has a negative review, and every reader is entitled to their opinion. You know, if it's an unfair review, you can contact Amazon or report it as abuse, but it has to be unfair. If they're reviewing, well, it didn't get here in time, or I don't like ebooks and this was a Kindle book and I wanted print, or something like that, Amazon will delete those for you because they're inappropriate. However, if it's just a negative book because they didn't like your story, just leave it. I have actually personally bought a book based off of somebody else's negative review. Everything that they hated about the book is exactly what I was looking for. So based off of that one-star review, I bought the book. So just because you have a one-star review doesn't mean you're a bad author. It means that somebody with a different taste read your book. So I just leave them alone and ignore them. And I generally don't ask them to review books for me again, though.
Yeah, so you quietly take them off your reviewers list.
Generally, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's great advice. You know, it can be so hard sometimes. You know, as an author, especially if it's your first book, it's like, you know, you feel like it's your baby. It's my baby, and I don't want anyone to criticize it. But, you know, like you said, every great book has bad reviews. And I love to look at, you know, Harry Potter. It's, you know, it's got like over 100 one-star reviews. And so I look at that, and I think, well, if I've only got 5 one-star reviews, I need, you know, I've got a little ways to go to get up there, you know.
Exactly. And back in the old days, when people had to query the traditional publishers, they got rejected all the time. I mean, famous books, the Chicken Soup for the Soul books got rejected by like 15 publishers. It was crazy. Just because somebody doesn't like your book doesn't mean it's a bad book. It could be a bestseller. It's just that that one person didn't like them. So I usually, like I said, just let them go. Sometimes I like to read through the negative reviews to see if there's anything I could improve. You know, like if they're saying, well, there was a typo here, you know, you can fix that. Make your book better. If it's constructive criticism, one-star reviews can be great. It's just you've got to look at what they are. Maybe that person was just having a bad day and they bashed everything about you. Those you just kind of have to blow off. You know, go and read some of the 5-star reviews and let them go.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, do you do anything looking at other people's reviews? So I know one thing I found really helpful is, you know, to look at other authors in my field and say and look at the reviews from readers and see, like, you know, what do they love about the book? What don't they like about the book? And just get a better feel for, like, who is my actual target reader? Who is my customer who's actually going to buy the book that I'm working on?
That's a really great idea. And that would be some great research to do before you finish your book to make sure that you've covered everything that readers want to know. You know, make sure that you know what other people have already said and what still needs to be said. And you can even use, like on Amazon, if you go through, they can show you some popular highlights. You could even quote some other authors within your book saying, you know, this is what they said if you're writing nonfiction anyway. For fiction, you can compare it to those authors saying, you know, this is what reviewers said about them and this book is similar to theirs. Or, you know, authors aren't competition. This is a term coined by Joanna Penn. She says they're co-opetition. They cooperate because they have the same audience, but readers read more than one book. If they're interested in your genre and your niche, they're going to read at least 5 books, maybe 100, maybe 1,000. You know, you're not competing with other authors for readers. You're working with them to provide the readers with material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a great point. That's just a brilliant point. And I think it's so true, you know. And if you come into the field, though, with that mindset of, oh, I'm competing with everyone else and I'm all by myself and I'm, you know, against all these other authors, then I think you miss out on so many opportunities. And especially when it comes to, like, actually attracting readers because, you know, other authors in your field already have all those readers reading their books. So all you're really doing is just giving those readers even more information, even more value, even more books. So it's not like you're taking anything away from anyone else. You're actually adding more value to the reader. And the quickest way to get those customers is just go to another author and say, hey, would you share this with your audience?
Exactly. And that brings up a really great point. You can also contact other authors in your niche to review your book. They can't review it on Amazon, but they can write testimonials for you that you could include on the cover if you're doing a paperback copy or in the editorial review section on Amazon. And that will put a big name author next to your story. And it could be a great way they could share it with their readership. they might ask you to do the same for them and get your name in front of their audience. Building relationships with other authors in your genre or in your niche is a great tool for getting new readers, for getting reviews, for getting yourself credibility as an author.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Absolutely. That is a really great tool. And what are some things that you do to actually add value? Because one of the big things I talk about is, you know, when you're creating these relationships, it's all about adding value to other people and not just take, not just review my book and promote me and give me this and send me customers. But it's really more of a give and take relationship where you're actually helping people and adding value to them. So what are some things that you do to actually actively kind of nourish your network of other authors in your field to actually help them out and support them?
Well, there's lots of different things you can do. You can do a guest blog for their website. You can ask them to blog for your website. It's definitely give and take. I found a lot of the best ways to build relationships with other authors is to get into a Facebook group with authors who are similar to you and add value. You know, the best ones aren't about promoting yourself. It's about the give and take. You know, if an author has a question, you know, you can give feedback. Or if they want feedback on their book description. Now, you can get that right in Facebook. There are groups that allow for that or that encourage that. Or if they have a question about how something works, about publishing their book, you know, you can get in there and help them out, dialogue with them, you know, ask about where the best place to market to that audience is. The more you connect with those authors, the more give and take you have with them, the bigger, better your relationship gets with them, and the more likely they are to be willing to promote you later on.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's awesome. That's great advice. Yeah, and I think you're totally right about the groups. It's not like I see so many groups on Facebook, and it's like you look at the wall, and every like 5 minutes is a post, buy my book is free, buy my book. And I just immediately leave those groups because it's like, it's not even worth my time because there's no communication there, right? So there's nothing I can learn from that group. And even when you look at all the posts, like no one's even liking them or commenting them or clicking on those links. So those people aren't even selling books. It just becomes an entire group of spam.
It is a spam group, and those are the best ones to avoid. So it's actually waste your time to post there, and that's time that you don't have to spend as an author usually. So definitely find the groups where there is the give and take. A lot of author groups that are the best don't allow.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. You are listening to How to Get Honest Reviews for your book on Amazon. I hope you learned something from that. I'm going to be playing those clips every now and then on the show because I know a lot of authors listen to the show and they want reviews for their book or their ebook or even their product or whatever product they might be hawking. So it's good to know how to get those reviews. I mean, some reviews are just it's just like pulling teeth, but you know, you got to hang in there. It's a lot of work. So for some people, it's a lot of work. For some people, it may not be too much work at all. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And the teachers in Chicago are still protesting downtown. It's kind of breaking up now and dispersing. They're protesting the cuts, staff cuts, special education cuts and all that kind of thing. And it's something. Like my son is in a special ed class and he won't have his teacher. So it's I don't know. But he's in a private school. So he may or may not. It depends on what CPS does. But I would like to say CPS, Chicago Public Schools, are one of the worst ran school system in the United States. Just like the crime in Chicago, the schools. And Rauner wants to take it over. He wants the state to take it over. If Rauner gets his hand on the public schools, the teachers union can just kiss themselves goodbye because he's going to put in his own people, throw out everybody else, and the schools are going to look different. You know, so Rauner should not get his hands on anything until he brings Illinois a budget, a state budget, and he gets up off his ass and pay the bills that he's been elected to do. And he should be recalled, he should be fired, he should be kicked out, but I don't see a real movement for that, and I really, truly don't know why. You know, I don't know why. It may be that we just have to put up with this guy. Okay, Carly Fiorina, she misses the cut, presidential candidate on the Republican side of the aisle for President of the United States 2016. Carly Fiorina misses the cut for ABC News debate. I mean, she won't be in the debate because of her low, or non-existent poll numbers. So that's a good thing. If you're going to watch the debate, you don't have to listen to her lie about Planned Parenthood and hear her attacks on Hillary Clinton, because that's all she does. Obviously, it didn't work for her because now she's been thrown out of the debate. So that's a good thing. We won't have to listen to her. She doesn't have to get media attention. But hey, wow, she's got name recognition. She can do like the rest of the candidates who have quit, dropped out, or been kicked out. She can go and write books. She can charge for speeches. Her name is recognized. Maybe she can run at some time in the future for another office, but never as president because she's not trustworthy. People don't like her, especially women. Women don't like her. But, you know, like every other politician, she brushes it off, blows it off, pretends not to listen, pretend like it's not happening, and it is. And she smiles. But she's out of the debate. I'm going to try and watch some of the Democratic debate tonight show. Hopefully go take some aspirin. But I doubt if that works. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. What else we have here? We're talking about things in the news. And if anybody out there was waiting on author Yvette W. Jones, obviously she will not be on the George Wilder Jr. Show. There was some sort of a screw-up. She was booked for tonight. Obviously, she didn't show up tonight because she felt that she was supposed to and will show up on the 10th of February. So that's a screw-up right there. Maybe somehow she was rescheduled and I wasn't told or something or other. But she's on the calendar for the 10th also. So I guess things like that happen. So I apologize to anybody who was waiting for Yvette. But, hey, she'll be here on the 10th. Stick around for that. And next week basically is all booked up. We'll have guests for every day that I'm on the air next week. So you guys stick around for that. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago out of Block Talk Radio. All right, let's take a break right here. Let's take a musical break. You know, I play a lot of music on this show, but basically this is a politically talk show, or just talk about anything you want. All right, 347-857-1762. I will be right back after this musical break. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Remember in a couple of shows back, I was telling you about a turncoat called Ken Duncan in the Illinois legislature. who has been bought off by Governor Bruce Rauner. He's a Democrat, and Rauner is a Republican. He was bought off to vote the other way. That's he was one of the reasons why the Democrats could not override or get a budget because of Ken Duncan. He's Ken Duncan, the Democrat. He voted willfully with the Republicans. You know, willfully. He just jerked his party and ran over there with Rauner. Took money. They're giving him money to vote against his own party. And the guy is just a nut. And that's what he does. He votes against his own party. That's the reason why the Democrats, who have the majority in the legislature, that's the reason why they can't override Rauner and give this state a budget, because turncoat Democrats. Okay? And I've said before that Duncan should be voted out. Find a challenger or challengers to vote this guy out of office, because he's a turncoat, money-grubbing, turncoat, stupid-ass Democrat. I mean, you got a lot of – I believe Duncan, Ken Duncan, is a Republican disguised as a Democrat. He has to be. And Rauner has bought his ass off, you know. And now I'm seeing – that they're going to be a lot of challengers, at least one or two, to his job. That is great news. Throw his ass out. Okay, Democratic Juliana Stratton called a news conference Thursday to show off the powerful allies backing her primary to bid to unseat Representative Ken Duncan. But the event would end up being a mix of praise for her, attacks on Duncan, and shouting matches outside. Get this guy, get his ass out of there. I've said this many times. He is an embarrassment to the Democrats. He is an embarrassment to the people who have elected him, because he's not representing them worth a damn. And they're pissed off that he's such a turncoat for Bruce Rauner and accepting money from Bruce Rauner to vote or to turn against Democrats so the Democrats can't get anything done. He's an asshole. Everybody everywhere is saying that. Ran as a Democrat but voting as a Republican. That doesn't go in the city, in the state of Illinois or the city of Chicago. Okay, says right here, Ken Duncan took a $500,000 thank you gift for voting against our families. Oh, my God. Stratus, that is not putting people over politics. He took a $500,000 from Bruce Rauner and his Republican friends to vote against Democrats, to vote against the people who put his ass in office. And now there is somebody running against his ass. I hope they just not only throw his ass out of office, throw him into the river somewhere. He needs a shower. And I've seen this guy. He looks weird. I've seen him on television. And he was just up there trying to explain himself. There is no explanation needed, man. You're a turncoat. You've taken money. You've been bought off to vote against your people, to vote against your party. He's been bought off. And now there's someone, I am so glad to hear this, because I hate Democrats who turn against the people who put them in office and do so with a smile, do so as if they're God Almighty and that they're doing the right thing. And they're not. I know that Ken Duncan, wherever he is, he knows that there's challengers to him, and he knows that there's people who are trying to throw his ass out of office as I speak. But he has a $500,000 in his pocket, so what does he care? What does he care? He's voting with Rauner. And saying, to hell with the people who put him in office, to hell with his party, to hell with the city of Chicago or the state of Illinois, who gave him his job. Now he's a turncoat, you know, and now there's a challenger. And I am so happy. And I think the state of Illinois should be happy that this guy's got someone to that's going to kick his ass out. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, I want to apologize for Yvette W. Jones, her book, My Second Wind. I have her down here for, obviously, she rescheduled, and she's scheduled for February 10th. Yeah, seems like I've had, seems like, oh, she's always rescheduling. Okay, sorry about that, folks out there who's listening and expected to hear her and to talk about her book, My Second Wind. Obviously, that will happen next week. I will not be on the show tomorrow. I'm taking a breather. I'll be taking a breather Saturday and Sunday. I will be back Monday. So follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me all over the place, 347-857-1762. Sit back and listen and enjoy. Download the show, park, archive the shows, and listen to this show anytime at your convenience. Wow, you know what? I've made it through the show. Even though I'm in excruciating pain, I've made it through the show. And I thank you for listening. I thank you for downloading. I thank you for listening to the show later on in the week if you want to. And I'm just so sorry about Yvette W. Jones. I'm pretty sure it's probably not her fault. It could be that we've just booked her for a day that she wasn't supposed to be on the air. Then again, she might have supposed to be in here, and she might have supposed to have been on the show, but something happened. You never know. But she has rescheduled. I have her down here for the 10th. On Freedom Chain, okay, what did that say? Freedom Chain Ministries. Okay. All righty. We'll have to talk to her about that when we see her, when she is on the George Wilder Jr. Show next week. Because she's not going to be on the show today because we're damn near off the air. So, you know, I mean, it happens. Things like this happens. And let's see. All right. Okay, here he is. Oh, wow. Check this out. Okay. All righty. Thank you so much. What about a drum roll? Can we get a drum roll? All righty. Okay, let's go with, can we find that clip? Let me see. All right, here we go. Be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Open eyes.
All right, we're back. I'm just looking at something. Governor Bruce Rauner insisted Wednesday that his recent comments highlighting the ultra-shaky financial footing of the Chicago public school system were not meant to scare lenders and imperil the school system as a way to further his position that the state should take the reins. Well, you could have fooled the rest of us. Rauner was indignant about assertions of sabotage. That's ridiculous, I'm quoting him, Rauner said. I believe that City Hall's frailings and floundering and failing and looking to blame others for it. No one can blame nobody for anything quicker than Rauner. All right, we're just about off the air here. Let's see, we're going to – I'm going to play some music on the way out. So thank you guys for being with me. Sorry about that, Yvette W. Jones. You'll be here on the 10th. I promise you that. So stick around for that. And I'm out of here, people. I am out of here. I want you. Okay, someone just whispered in my ear, George, you got 60 seconds. All right, let me see if I can't play my way on out of here. All righty, here we go. All right, take care, people.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.